Page 282, the Geras HaKodesh. Continuing this chapter, which deals with the Baal Shem Tov's saying about how every minute action that takes place in the world is being controlled by God, and even if, as he said, a Gentile is shouting, screaming at someone who's praying, then the reaction should be not to get angry back at the Gentile, but to realize that this is a God-given event, a God-caused event, that is calculated to bring out more depth of concentration in his prayers than up till now. In other words, it's a kind of challenge. Yeah. But up till now he's been praying with a certain level of intensity, and now this challenge has come from the Gentile who's screaming at him. That he, what should his reaction be? To realize this is a challenge, and my reaction should be to deepen my kavana, my intent, so that I can't even hear what this guy is saying, and I can only be involved in my prayers. So this is the Baal Shem Tov's idea. So the beginning of the chapter expands on this and explains how we can bring a proof to this from a statement of the rabbis of Kalakoyes Kila Ovid Avodah Zarah. Anybody that gets angry, it's as if they serve idols. Why? Because they are imputing that the event that they're angry about, the thing that happened to them, somehow or other is independent of God. If they would realize that this is God controlled, and that's why this event is happening to them, then they wouldn't get angry. They would just accept it. Well, we don't get angry against God. What he decides is the best thing for us. So the fact that a person got angry means that they are forgetting that God is in control of everything, and they are imputing that this person or thing did something nasty to them of their own accord, outside God's control. Well, that is, in principle, the concept of idol worship. Because idol worship is imputing power to a being or earthly power that, an independent power, independent of God. We're on page 282, a third of the way down the page. V'al yechachdeni shemea shani be'einai shehevanti divrei Arizal lafshita migashmiyusan. The reader, or the one listening to this, should not suspect that I have understood the words of the Arizal in a way that takes them out of their literal meaning. My purpose only is to explain the words of the Baal Shem Tov and his pupils. Al pi Kabbalah Sarizal, according to the Kabbalah of the Arizal. So, a few lines before, the Alter Rebbe had said that if anybody is trying to criticize what he's saying, that God is in control and is involved in everything in the creation, we have explicit texts which basically say the same thing, such as Maloi Chol Haaretz Kavoda. The whole world is full of God's glory, and God fills all the creation. So, if they've got a criticism, they have to criticize the Pasuk as well, which of course we're not allowed to do, because that is the Torah Shebiksav, the written law. And that proves what we're saying, that God is involved in and controls everything. And in addition to which, this is what he's saying again here, that this, what we're saying, is not a Kabbalistic idea, the idea that God's in control of everything. It's not something hidden. Ki im me'aniglos lanirvanenu. It's something that is actually revealed. This is a quote. He says, "Anistoros Lashem lekenu, va'aniglos lanirvanenu." That's a quote from the Sedra Nitzavim, where we say, "The hidden things are to the Lord our God, and the revealed things are for us and our children." So he uses that pasuk to express what he wants to say over here. We're not saying that this principle, that God is in control of everything and is in everything, is a hidden esoteric idea. No, it's a revealed idea. It's in Nigla de Torah. It's in the revealed part of Torah. Lahamin emunah shleima b'mikra mole. We believe with complete faith in a complete text, a quote from the biblical text, Shadibra HaKosev, which the written text speaks and says, Haloyas HaShemayim V'Torahs Ani Mole, Nu'um Hashem. God says, I fill the heaven and the earth. That means God's presence is there in every single facet of every single part of creation. Shame mikra yetzimidei pshuto. We are not allowed to simply take a text and imply that it is only allegorical. We have a principle that even though we use text to be allegorical as well, but we do not allow a text to be simply allegorical. It is also poshut. That means it has a literal meaning. So when the Torah says, that God says, that I fill heaven and earth, it's literal. It might have a kind of allegorical meaning as well, but we can't depart from the literal meaning. This is also an article of faith for ordinary Jews. Ordinary Jews believe this. And this is a handed down tradition, a handed down belief from our holy fathers, Shehalchu b'tmimus im Hashem, who went with simplicity with God, b'li lachkar b'seichel enushi inyan elokus, asher hu lemaile me'aseichel ad ein keitz. And they did not get involved in delving into what is godliness. Lachkar means to investigate. Chakira, it means the kind of philosophical investigation. They didn't delve into these things because, in any case, to delve into the nature of godliness and its relationship with the world is beyond our understanding. Adain Kates, that means absolutely. Leida Eichu Meloi Chol Horetz, they didn't bother to investigate, and in Yiddish, declare, as we say, with this philosophical investigation to understand how does God fill all the world. They took it as a simple statement, a fact. God fills all the worlds. The reason why this has become to the fore as a matter of discussion and debate and investigation is because new ideas have come up. Lachar b'chakira zai, to delve into this investigation. The efshel karev lahem al haseichel, and it's impossible to explain this clearly. That's a paraphrasing. He literally means to bring it near to their understanding. But he means I can't explain this. Ela davka al pi hakdomais lukruchais me kisvei arizal, but only by, first of all, establishing principles taken from the writings of the Arizal, mufshatos migashmiusan, which have been stripped of their literacy, of the fact that they're literal. In other words, delving deeper into an allegorical understanding of the writings of the Arizal as well. Ukefisha shamati mirabaisa nishmosam eden, as I have heard from my teachers, whose souls reside in the Garden of Eden. Who are the teachers of the Alter Rebbe? This refers to the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid of Meserich, Rabbi Dov Ber of Meserich. So when he says, I've heard from my teachers, he said from both of them. It doesn't mean literally he heard from the Baal Shem Tov, because he only met the Baal Shem Tov once. And that was when he was 3 years old. His father, Reb Baruch, took him, with permission of the Baal Shem Tov, to the Baal Shem Tov to receive his first haircut, which in Yiddish is called the Opshernish, the haircutting ceremony. And the Baal Shem Tov had instructed his father that he's not to tell him, this child of three, who the Baal Shem Tov is. He said, if he asks who the person is that cut my hair, you should just say a Zayda, a grandfather, but don't say who he is. And the Baal Shem Tov told the Rabbi Dovber Mezerich, the Magid Mezerich, that the Alter Rebbe's soul belongs to him, meaning to Rabbi Dovber. And therefore the Baal Shem Tov did not want to see the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman. He didn't want to see him after the age of three, because he knew that his soul belongs to the Baal Shem Tov's pupil and successor, Rabbi Dovber, and therefore the teacher of Rabbi Shneur Zalman. So when he says over here, I heard from my teachers, it either means that he heard it through Rabbi Dovber, and therefore automatically he heard it from the Baal Shem Tov indirectly. Or you could say, and this is pure speculation, there were subsequent occasions where the Alter Rebbe did meet the Baal Shem Tov after the Baal Shem Tov had passed away. There are two recorded occasions that I know of this. One of them is when the Alter Rebbe was in prison, the Yutes Kislev story.
Yeah.
And he was in prison, so we're told that he was visited in prison by his two teachers, the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid of Mezerich, Rabbi Dovber. And both of them had already passed away, and that means they had been given permission to come down into this world. The implication being, the way the Rebbe explains it in one of his talks, that they were neshamas begufim, that they were body and soul together. So somehow, miraculously, the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid of Mezerich came back into this world after they passed away, and made an appearance to the Alter Rebbe. Another recorded occasion is the previous Rebbe tells of how the Alter Rebbe was a Mesharis. He was the servant or Shamus of his teacher, Rabbi Dovber. He begged to be his Shamus, and Rabbi Dovber allowed him to be. Now this was 7 years, or 6 or 7 years after the Baal Shem Tov passed away, and Rabbi Dovber called the Alter Rebbe into his room, and he said, lock the door. And he said, I don't want you to repeat anything that you see here. But he said, you should know, the Rebbe's coming. And who's the Rebbe? The Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov appeared to his pupil, Rabbi Dovber, and there was obviously some communication, I can't remember what, and Rabbi Shneur Zalman saw it, and he was party to it. So those were two recorded occasions that I know of where the Alter Rebbe heard, met the Baal Shem Tov after he'd passed away. It is possible, I don't know, that he heard directly something from the Baal Shem Tov that he could refer to over here as saying, I heard it from my teachers. Because it's an interesting question to ask. Why does he say that I heard it from my teachers? If he actually only had a teacher in Rabbi Dovber, and he didn't actually go to the Baal Shem Tov, so he didn't actually hear it from two people, he only heard it from one. We'll leave that as a question. But it's impossible to explain all this properly by letter. In other words, the letter that he's written so far is insufficient to fully do justice to the subject, but it has to be something that is given by word of mouth, literally spoken from mouth to ear, to the ear that hears, to those, Yechidei Sgula means somebody special. Obviously you need someone special to go to the Alter Rebbe to hear and understand his explanations. Balasridi Mashe Hashem Kaire, and to the remnants which Hashem calls, as it says, those that seek the Lord, seek God, they will understand everything. So he's asking for a delegation, a small delegation to come to hear what he has to say, then let him, that he should be able to explain it verbally, and then the delegation will go back to their hometowns and explain it over to the people that want to know the details of how Hasidic teachings explain the presence of God in every aspect and facet of creation. And from the yes, you can understand the no. Probably that's referring to his request that the people that come should be special and well understanding of these esoteric matters. So he's saying, Michal Hain Atashemer Lav. That means, from the yes, you'll understand the no. Meaning, from the fact that I'm specifying that you need special people to come along here, you'll understand that you shouldn't send people who are not special, mentally or spiritually equipped to understand what I'm saying. And Hineatim Re'isim. So now he concludes the chapter. So here you see, Pirish Mai Merechod Misferim Ayiduim L'dugma Olais. There I've explained one saying from the known books as an example, and the sign Kigam Kol Amamori Matmuim Yeshlem Pirish Ubir Heitev Liyadichem, as a sign that all the sayings the Baal Shem Tov, etc., the other founders of the Hasidic movement, and they may seem tamuim, they may seem astonishing, surprising, difficult to understand, but they do have an explanation, a good explanation, liyodechein, to those that understand and know the esoteric wisdom. Ach loy yukavu ma'losam eilai levai lehem akol b'miktav, but you should not hope for me to explain everything in a letter. Ki malacha kiveda umaruba, for this is a very, very heavy job. The yevshe b'shemayfen, and it is impossible, completely impossible to achieve this. In other words, he's saying it's too difficult to fully explain in a letter these very delicate matters. Rakim tirtzu shilchu mikem echad u'miyuchad shve'eda, but if you wish, send from amongst you somebody who is special, that means he understands, has a good head, u'pe'al pe'a daba b'imit Hashem, and I will speak to him face to face, imit Hashem. V'Hashem yeh impi ba'atifi, and God should be with my mouth when I utter these words, v'yil rotzen imrefi, and the words of my mouth should be to goodwill, meaning it should be acceptable to Hashem, and acceptable, of course, also to the listeners who will be hearing the explanation by proxy from the expert that has come along to hear the explanation from the Alter Rebbe themselves.